Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Show, live on Blog Talk Radio and in the archive for October the 19th. Welcome to the show. My name is Gwendolyn Berry, and with me today is Jack Jodell from Saturday Afternoon Post and the minds and thoughts of F. Wayne Johnson. Wayne is here with us, too. And,
hello.
As everybody has been saying pre-show, the biggest topic out there is Ebola. And I think that's a great place to start, guys, because there's all this stuff going around about Ebola.
Yeah.
And
the only thing is there's very little Ebola going around over here, but everybody's acting like it's right next door.
Yeah.
That's what's so insane about it.
There's a huge panic going on there.
Well, you know what it is? It's mainstream media, you know, the horrible mainstream media. They're just grabbing onto anything to scare people into watching, to hook them onto something, the latest. It's the flavor of the month as far as stories go, and they're running it to death on all of them. It's just unbelievable. You know, on Free Speech TV, you see Tom Hartman, you see Amy Goodman, and they talk about it, you know, as what it is. It's an epidemic mainly in Africa that we have had some cases over here. They're out of Texas now. They're in facilities that presumably know how to deal with it. And only one man has died, the man that came over here from Liberia. But all the mainstream media, they're acting like it's a panic-stricken situation. It's immediate action required on everybody's part all across the country, and it's just bullshit.
Well, it's the current boogeyman du jour.
Exactly.
Guys,
yeah.
What it is people are talking in this one word, which is airborne. And,
yeah, and it's not there.
And they thought, well, I can give you a quote on that by the experts. Fortunately, making Ebola airborne is not that easy based on evolutionary theory. Scientists may discuss how rapidly the virus is mutating, but the physical changes necessary to have Ebola virus truly airborne are hardly trivial. First of all, making Ebola airborne would require the development of new surface proteins that would allow the virus to infect the tissues in the respiratory system necessary for the virus to be sent easily out via a sneeze or a cough. Even if that unlikely event were to occur, the lipid membrane, the surface shell, is apparently ineffective at protecting the virus at room temperature. So there you have it. If you care to listen, it's not at this point able to be airborne.
Right. It's not like the flu. It's not like a common cold. You have to really be in contact with an infected person's bodily fluids. And the last time I checked, there weren't any Liberians or Ivory Coast citizens or anybody like that over here to infect me. I don't know about
right.
you guys, but it's something to look at. It is very deadly. You know, it kills about anywhere, depending on the strain, it kills anywhere from 10 to 90% of its victims. But it's got to become over here before it really becomes a threat. And we're doing everything we can to keep it outside of our borders, which is fine. But we're going to all kinds of extremes, especially in the media, and people are it's a boogeyman du jour, just like you said, Wayne. And we got to get smart about this, and we got to get our heads on. You know, we can't operate in a constant state of fear, even though neocons like us to.
Of course. And knowing the truth about how this virus works is very important. But also, you have to admit that the CDC and most especially the hospital in Dallas dropped the ball on this. The incompetence here is incredible. It's just it's astounding.
You would expect more out of the CDC. The hospital in Dallas maybe you can forgive because they weren't equipped for this. They weren't prepared for it, and it was the first time they'd ever seen it and inside the U.S. here. So, but they dropped the ball on the diagnosis. They didn't even diagnose the guy right properly the first time. So
no.
They,
right.
You know,
everything was handled poorly, very
exactly.
poorly, Aaron. And then the CDC was called on presents there, and the CDC dropped the ball, too, there at the
right.
very beginning. So what you've got is gross incompetence in the healthcare system as far as a national healthcare system and information bank going down in flames. So...
And, you know, for all the fear that has been generated about this disease, do you realize that it's not new? It's been around for many, many, many years. I don't remember when that first outbreak was, but it was quite a while ago. And the NIH has been trying to deal with creating a vaccine for it for more than 10 years, for 12, 13 years. And the only thing that's kept them from going any further has been Paul Ryan's and the Republicans' budget cuts. They've severely
yeah.
hampered their efforts to develop a vaccine. And you know what? These guys they want to decimate the governments, and in the process they're going to decimate the population if they don't watch out.
Exactly.
I don't think you know it's about greed down at the bottom.
Oh yeah.
About greed.
Yeah, right at the bottom of it all.
I guarantee you that the pharmaceutical industry has picked up the ball on this and they're working towards some kind of vaccine because they're probably bean counting the projection of disease and spreading in this country now where people can
oh,
be
sure,
plundered
well, sure.
for...
Oh, you bet. They've got teams yeah. of experts working on it right as we speak.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say, let me interject this one here. Right here in Ohio alone, where the one girl flew to, that was going to get married and flew up to Cleveland from like the Columbus area here,
mm-hmm.
they now have 100 people isolated that they're monitoring to see if they're going to come down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's good to be
you know,
cautious, but, you know,
you
can go overboard too.
The plane
well,
is,
what,
is being decontaminized down here in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make me feel too good, but
yeah.
the point being that also I understand that there's been several lawsuits now pending against that the nurse, and it wasn't
yeah.
even her fault. She called.
Right.
She told them what was going on, and they told her to fly. They told her she was fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Well. And then that cruise ship that they kept out to sea isolated because they thought
right.
somebody might have Ebola, that's just now finally docking back into the port here. So that stayed out for how many more extra days? I don't know.
Yeah, just to make
but,
sure
you know,
there were no developments, yeah.
Exactly.
And the person that they were suspected of having it, it turns out evidently they're clear. They're clean. So
yeah, they were, everything was negative, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's good. That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That was somebody who handled the tests in the Texas hospital.
Right, that was somebody
yeah.
from that actual
yeah,
Texas hospital,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So it's
we
madness.
Can be thankful there was only one death so far. And chances are the other two being diagnosed very early will have a good prognosis, let's hope, you know. And let's hope that we don't see any more of this, and let's hope that, in fact, there is a vaccine developed. I guess there's a vaccine that has gone through one clinical test up in Canada that has worked, and they're awaiting the FDA's dragging its feet here, trying to make it profitable for
you mean Canada has a nationalized health care, came up with a vaccine quicker than the privatized medical industry in this country?
Well,
hmm.
are you
some statement.
Are you surprised?
they don't
have 100 people out there
it was worth
their hands up for more money.
I just thought it was a fact worth reiterating.
It's just a test. Test vaccine, and they haven't been using it on human beings. You know? It's
right.
the same. There's the French have one, too.
Exactly.
But they've only been, I guess they haven't actually, because they haven't had the ability to test it on people yet.
Yeah, they don't have any cases in France. That's right.
Well, but, no, they actually have one.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yeah,
there was a medical worker that came back.
Oh, they do. I didn't realize France had that. Okay, I know Spain did, but okay. Yeah.
That's
well, regardless,
Spain has
you know, you know what it comes down to is the reason it hasn't been introduced here is that, A, Merck, Pfizer, and the rest of those yahoos haven't found a way to develop it cheaply and profitably enough. And the minute they do, they'll be flooding the marketplace with it.
Yeah.
Well, and also there's something about the serum from the blood of people who have survived it.
Right, they've got antibodies.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's right. They've got they now have the antibodies that the human body has already produced to protect itself and to overcome the disease.
Right.
And this is now just, okay, now let's take that and synthetically start manufacturing it in volumes.
That's what they're hoping to do. And, you know, it takes a while to do this stuff, too. We can't just say, well, why don't we have it yet? Well, you know, there's a number of reasons for it. But on the other hand, there's been very little effort on behalf of any American pharmaceutical company. And if anybody out there can correct me on this, I'm welcome to your criticism. But as far as I know and as far as I've heard, none of the major American pharmaceutical companies have done a damn thing about it.
Well, the latest breaking news on Ebola in this country is kind of disturbing to me. It smacks of detention centers in the coming days.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the U.S. military is forming a 30-person quick strike team equipped to provide direct treatment to Ebola patients inside the United States. That at one point, at some portion of that, is very comforting. On the other hand, the defense...
Will they rendition them somewhere?
This is another thing. What will happen to people and people who've been in contact? This smacks of detention and isolation. And they could infect more that way than they could, you know, and everybody knows that those protocols are iffy of isolation and detention. And it's scary. That's the first time I've been...
Have I heard somewhere on the conservative blowhard radio talking about leper colonies? You know, look, we did it with leper colonies. Why aren't we doing it this way with Ebola? Again,
leave it
you know,
to
whipping up
guys,
the nut
huh?
jobs. Right. No, whipping up the nut jobs again. So, sure.
Yeah.
Well, until they get, you know, until it's them. Until it's
right.
them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Then it's un-American.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The minute.
John Stuart Mills made a comment. He said, there's many truths that are never fully realized until personal experience has brought it home.
Right.
That's what we're talking about right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always
exactly.
the other guy.
And, you know,
for the other guy.
For the vast bulk of the right-wing tin can machine that keeps repeating the same old fear-isms, the majority of those people, they view this disease as over a foreign disease over there. They don't view it in terms of a human beings being sick and finding a cause for it and a cure for it. No, they view it as something over there that we've got to keep out of here. And, you know, common sense, yeah, you don't want to have Ebola clinics every block in the country with sick people in them. You know, we don't want to get to that point. But on the other hand, their attitude is so callous and so uncaring, and they dismiss it as something foreign and to be avoided, rather than something to not embrace, but something to work really hard, even if you have to spend a few bucks to get it cured, to find a cure for it.
Well, and there's one other thing, though, here that's going on. The CDC is revising its Ebola protocol. At the same time that the military is getting involved, the CDC is revising their guidance for healthcare workers who are treating Ebola, using protective gear with no skin showing. I thought that was the protocol anyways, myself.
Well, that's what you would expect. You would expect hazmat suits or something. And,
yeah.
But evidently not. You know, the way they flippantly handled the blood test samples from that stricken fellow that died in Texas, you know, they sent it through the regular pneumatic tube system. And you know, there's no common sense used there. I mean, what's wrong with these people? They're supposed to be professionals.
Texas.
There you go.
They were using protocols that were developed by the Centers for the World Health Organization model, which is about, you know, lack of equipment and everything in remote places, often outdoors, mm-hmm. without intensive training for healthcare workers.
Right, and that's why it spreads so fast.
Yeah, our one of our local hospitals, JFK, here had a scare last week. Somebody came in and said, you know, I've been traveling and I have a low-grade fever and I don't feel so well. It turned out to be just somebody a little too paranoid. But
right.
the
mm-hmm. yeah.
possible thing was that this person came in without alert, you know, causing any fanfare in their own neighborhood. They came in. And JFK went through their own protocol on it, and they had the hazmat all over the place. Right when she said the word, I'm scared I might have Ebola, the nurse on duty in the emergency room immediately had the emergency room cleared and everyone in it put into another room, and they began immediate hazmat. In fact, they cleansed the whole area, and they put her into protective clothing, and they started doing the testing on her with complete hazmat suits and everything. So
yeah,
I think that some places in this country, I'd say the majority of hospitals, take protocols for, you know, this kind of who knows what these Texas people were. I mean, my goodness.
Well, who knows what's going through the minds of a lot of those people down there? They're crazy. The way Rick Perry is misrunning that state, it defies logic, you know.
Right. Right. Well, and the other sad thing, now, which I know this is kind of a little off topic, but what's tangible, too, is the Supreme Court has ruled now that they're allowed to use, to uphold their voter ID registration. In essence, it's
disgusting.
The suppression of the vote. They said it's going to be about anywhere from 600, maybe 700,000 people.
You know what the rationale was? It's too close to the election to institute anything now. Oh, my God. You know, what a bunch of crap.
Exactly. It's all about suppressing
absolutely disgusting.
The vote.
Absolutely disgusting. That's a whole other topic, though. But
yes.
getting back to, let's talk about this hazmat thing. I would venture to say, and I think there's strong evidence to back me up, that hardly any hospitals in this country are anywhere near as equipped as they should be to deal with a major Ebola outbreak.
You mean hazmat-wise and
right.
Isolation protocols.
And training. Protocols. Yes, exactly.
They're supposed to be, though. That's one of the standard, you know, like down here we have different protocols for hurricane preparedness kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All hospitals are supposed to have certain trainings once a year or whatever to deal with certain crises and epidemics.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there is a hospital in Cleveland where they're flying all these, those who are suspected up to.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, seems to be like, well, this is going to be the center or the hot zone for anybody who might be.
Wow, Cleveland, who would have thought, huh?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, my brother works in healthcare, and I'm going to ask him what protocols they've established at his hospital. And I'm almost willing to bet right now that they have barely even, if they've even discussed it, they've barely begun to, as far as training and as far as what to do if in fact you're met with an Ebola patient, you know, what the staff is supposed to do, what the security is supposed to do, what everybody's supposed to do on the hospital level to prevent an outbreak or a spread. So we'll find out. By next Sunday, I'll have some answers for you on that.
That'll be very interesting.
I saw somewhere on the news today where over 100 people have been quarantined in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
probably in the Cleveland area.
Those that were on the plane from that girl who flew that was
her
wedding dress or something, who flew from Columbus up there. And like I said, they're monitoring 100 of them and quarantined them right here in Ohio right now.
Yeah.
Now, what do they do, and how long do they quarantine? Because you can't really tell.
I did something very few people do recently, Gwen. I went and I Googled Ebola, and I read up on it as much as I could a day or so ago. And it turns out that there are 3 or 4 strains of Ebola. We only talk about one as if it's a monolithic strain. No, there are actually several strains. The deadliest one is where about 90% of the people in the past who have contracted it die. There are some that are as low as between 10 and 20% end up dying, and the rest of the people can recover. Now, what I've been told is that the onset becomes evident within 2 to as long as 21 days after exposure.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. That's the number I heard.
So that's what I saw, and that's the only thing I know about it at this point.
I understand that the strain of Ebola that they're talking about is one that is recoverable from.
Right.
You know, it's not got that high mortality on it.
I think the worst one originated in Sudan in 2002 to 2003, and I think this is not that one. I think it's a different one. Well, as a matter of fact, it is a different one because it originated in Liberia and places west of Sudan, southwest of Sudan. So this is different, but it's still deadly. It's potentially deadly, and it's nothing to be ignored. But on the other hand, people shouldn't run around like freaked out chickens and bump into walls over something they don't know very much about and haven't even taken the time to research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key. They didn't take the time to research.
Right, right.
That's the key words right there.
And all you have to do is go to your computer and Google or whatever search engine you want to use. I won't just search out Google, but I'll see whatever one you want to use, Ebola virus, and see what it comes up. And there are going to be 10, 12, maybe 100 entries. Just read as many of them as you want. Read the key ones, you think, and you'll know a lot more about it than you do right now. That's all I can recommend.
Yeah, but, you know, the panic stuff that's going on. And again, we can point to the other side of media, the mainstream. CNN was
just terrible.
They were thunder.
Oh, CNN's gone ballistic on this stuff. They're nuts. And Fox, too. None of them are any good, you know. MSNBC's been marginally better.
Well, I will say this. Something that's been I saw on Twitter and read was
Shepard Smith.
Shepard Smith on Fox.
He's the only one speaking sense over it at Fox.
Yeah, he was the only one who came out and said, listen, folks, this is the skinny. And you got to commend him for that because not many people.
Oh, exactly.
Because it's sensational. You know, if it bleeds, it leads.
Right. That's their motto, and there's something wrong with that. They got to tone it down a little bit.
You guys were talking about the voter ID, the Texas voter ID law, and the horrible Supreme Court stand on it. But
the extreme court.
Ginsburg wrote a scathing dissent on it, you know.
Yeah.
She had a 6-page dissent yesterday morning that blasted the court's decision to allow Texas to use this new voter ID law in the November elections. And she was joined in the dissent by Justices Kagan and Sotomayor, of course.
I'm not surprised, right?
She said, the greatest threat to public confidence in elections in this case is the prospect of enforcing a purposefully discriminatory law, one that likely imposes an unconstitutional poll tax and risks denying the right to vote to hundreds of thousands of eligible voters. And that's it.
That's it. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Republicans, the Tea Party infested Republican Party that's very reactionary now, they know Their agenda will not sell with the average American. So they've either got to trick them into voting their way with some complete off-the-wall lie like they've been so prone to using
right.
in recent years, or they've got to disenfranchise as many potential opposite voters as they possibly can, and that's part of this voter fraud crap that's going around, that they're trying to prevent voter fraud, and there's been very little voter fraud, very little, and they act as though it's endemic, you know?
I was going to say, from all that has been monitored, they have found two illegal votes, people who have voted illegal, out of the
yeah.
whole country, this is two. Now,
yeah,
and and one of those was, he was a head of the elections, Republican in Indiana, and he had himself registered in two places, and he voted in two places.
Yeah, crooked.
In
yep.
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in other words, the violations, most violations that have happened in voter fraud have been those trying to push the Republican agenda.
Exactly.
In authority themselves.
Well, they've
so
got to lie,
like,
cheat, or steal,
like,
because regular people will not side with them on most issues. And that's
exactly
a proven
right.
fact.
There's the old saying, a liar can't believe anybody and a thief can't trust anybody. Well, that's now the conservative Republicans.
Very good sayings there.
There you
Wayne.
Go. Well,
you always come up with those. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So true, too.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, very true.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, basically, it is until we can get some changes made on the Supreme Court, that's the Supreme Court is something that just
it's extreme.
You fear it. I fear it when I hear they have a decision to make. I fear it.
Right. And this is one of the big disasters of Bush stealing the election in 2000.
And really, let's date it back to Ronald Reagan. They've been trying to get a conservative majority on that court ever since then, and they finally succeeded in getting a four and a half to three and a half or whatever the hell the breakdown would be. It's Kennedy is suspect. He almost always sides with the five conservatives, but not always.
Right.
Once in a while he breaks, and once in a great while Roberts will too, but by and large, it's a five-man conservative bloc, and that's very dangerous because they're not only conservative, they're reactionary. They want to roll the clock back on so many
exactly.
things.
And exactly.
They're not serving the country very well, not even really. I call them the extreme court. That's what they are. They're extremely
exactly.
anti-labor. They're extremely anti-women. They're extremely anti-worker. They're anti-everything that has helped build America. They're pro-business. They're pro-corporation. And they're pro-authoritarian. That's all they are. They're worthless.
They're just trying to return back the clock to the Gilded Age where the workers have absolutely no rights. You're just as expendable as a Kleenex.
And all the regulations they want to throw out the window, it's libertarians' dream come true is what it is. And that's why the Koch brothers are so dangerous and Rand Paul is so dangerous, too. They want to do away with the minimum wage. They want to do away with safety standards. They want to do away with OSHA. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, how less dangerous and terrible are what the president put his signature on just recently that you guys were talking about before we got on air? I mean, Social Security tax and what was the other one?
Allowing fracking now into the Gulf,
fracking
in the Gulf waters themselves.
Fracking in my pond. You know, I have known for years now what kind of a toady he is. But this is absolutely stunning. And how we can sit here and say it's so much of the Republicans' fault. Well, I don't agree anymore, of course, guys. I think
it's corporate Democrats, too.
Yeah.
I have to know, after this latest news that I just heard last few days here on that, Lynn, I've got to kind of I have to change my view and agree with you. And I think,
forget the Democrat and the Republican and the conservative and the liberal stuff.
Right.
It comes down to pro-corporate or pro-worker. You're either pro-corporate
right,
or you're
exactly.
pro-worker, and that's what really it boils down to, and that's what really matters. And, you know, there's far too much pro-corporatism going on in this country today. They are getting away with absolute murder any way you look at it.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny, Jack, because that's exactly what our old friend Pinko the Bear says. He's a wobbler.
He's right on the money. He's got it
and
right. Yep.
He will sit and argue with you all night long very politely, but he will see and dishes out all the prima facie on it. He will tell you how capitalism is a fouled and failed system.
It's horrible, right.
And has promoted this absolute juncture we're at leadership-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really very good. I don't agree with a bear about everything, but he certainly has a voice that should be listened to because he is very much about the working people of any
the people who actually create things.
Place. Yeah, the right. makers, the ones who actually...
The real makers. Yeah.
Yeah, that put the champagne in the buckets for the 1%.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good point.
And there's a professor in Berkeley, California, who, as a matter of fact, I wrote one of his. I read one of his writings, and basically he explains it very well. Good. Where basically, capitalism, under its own nature, rapidly pursues predatory capitalism.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones to suffer is the working middle class in this country. Well, there's just working class, period. You can be low, high, low, or even middle class. You're the target.
Well, you're supporting the social safety net, what's left of it, on one hand. And on the other hand, you're supporting through tax subsidies and huge tax breaks rich corporations that don't need any further protection. And they don't need any more tax breaks, but they still push for them.
Jack, we are paying the oil industry subsidies into the tunes of like $1 or $2 billion. It's in the billions, but yet they're making record profits in the $10 billion. But yet we're still
exactly. And they even get refunds. Can you imagine that? They even get refunds.
You know, it's just my mind just came
up.
Yes.
It's quite true.
It's certainly not fair.
It's quite true.
They've got their propaganda out there. They've got their, friendly BP and friendly, all these oil companies are all friendly, and they got the solution and better mileage for your car and security for you and your family, and it's a bunch of crap. It's people fall for this stuff so much, and that's why they keep putting it on the airwaves. That's why I
Jack,
hate commercial
I got to tell you this. I was watching college football yesterday, and Ohio State beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
But the ad came on was, we're the Koch brothers, you know, and there's all pictures of all these happy workers, you know, cranking out.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Said, you might not know our name, but, boy, we make a lot of things that go into things you use and all this. And everybody was happy and working. And I thought, oh, my God.
They should, they should have a split screen and they should show polluted rivers. They should show sick children that are caused by the factories dumping their pollution in otherwise clean streams. And they should show, all the evil effects of what they do, their oil processing and all that other stuff,
Sands and
fracking.
Jack, let me in Seaford, Delaware, which is close to where my farm is, just over the Maryland-Delaware border on the peninsula, used to be DuPont's nylon plant. Mm-hmm. That's where, if you wore nylon stockings, that's where the nylon was
made.
They're made.
Mm-hmm.
And the material, the mm-hmm. nylon material itself, to be woven into cloth and whatever, secondary.
Right.
And since then, though, the Koch brothers have bought it. Meanwhile, the little town of Seaford was a prosperous town, had a nice infrastructure, a nice hospital, the whole nine yards. But the average worker there was making $20 to $30 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ballpark median was $25 an hour.
It
was a good living wage for
now.
The people in that, little country area.
Mm-hmm.
The Koch brothers took it over, laid everybody off. You could keep your job if you agreed to the pay cut. Of down to $7.50 an hour.
Oh, my
They've
God.
They've hired every...
minimum wage, and they want to do away with that, too.
Exactly right. And basically, they just filled it full of Mexican immigrants. And I'm not bashing the Mexican immigrants. I'm saying welcome. But they know that this is a segment that they can prey upon.
Exactly, yeah.
And
no, they're evil boys. They got, you know, all their propaganda, even their smiles, they're all the printed pictures I've seen of them, they're all smiling. They're all jolly-looking, the guys next door kind of guys. But those guys are crooks. They're diabolical crooks, and they are dedicated. They are dedicated to running the government for their own private profit. That's what they want to do.
I know a lot of people know this, but it's worth reiterating. The John Birch Society, which was nothing more than an extension of the Ku Klux Klan formulated in the early 60s, their dad was the one who funded that. If you were a member of the John Birch Society, you were called, get this, a Minuteman.
Yeah,
just in the New England Minuteman, right? Well, now, same thing, only you're called a patriot.
Same, that's their favorite word.
Same racist, recessionary views that their dad had and marketed in their image now.
Yep. And now they've got guys patrolling the borders in the Southwest, calling themselves Minutemen.
Exactly.
Lou Dobbs was big on those guys when he had his show on CNN. Boy, he used to feature those Minuteman guys all the time like they're big heroes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, I tell you.
It's vigilante justice is what it's called.
It must be accelerated carbon dioxide in the air that's making people go so crazy. That's the only thing I can figure, because these people are out of their minds. They're so greedy. They're so selfish. They're not selfless in the least. They're selfish. They want to do away with all protections for people. They want everything for themselves. They want nothing to stand in their way. They want nothing but more money, and to hell with anybody else. That's their attitude, and that's why these guys have got to be opposed, and that's why we have got to start paying attention, and we have got to start electing progressives rather than corporate Democrats and reactionary Tea Party idiots, Republican idiots, to Congress. We've got to get a grip on it here. These guys are going to kill us. They are, definitely, and we've got to stop it.
That's what I say.
The only way to get a grip on it is become aware of your local issues and start voting for the people you think will do the right job in the local arena. And to, you know, this is my byword. If you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, and hell, mostly independents, you know, you're already on my card. You're already got 5 marks against you. And I'm going to listen to every candidate talk, you know, especially if questions are being thrown at them. But it's all, I watched this morning a local a Democrat candidate who was the mayor of West Palm Beach for years. She's just spent 2 years in D.C., done nothing. Her name is Lois Frankel. And she was on a week ago. I saw the thing this morning. It's called To the Point with a local air channel, and they asked questions. And all of her answers were nothing but propaganda and doublespeak.
Sure, right. Yeah,
and
doublespeak.
It didn't address any issue. It just said, oh, well, you know, this. The other thing that puts me against a local politician here, too, we have a very large pro-Israel Jewish retirement community in South Florida. And I think that our candidate should be aware of how Israel manipulates this government and our tax dollars, and is doing so at the cost of humanity against their neighbors. I think that this is an important issue in any election. And down here, if you ask a question along those lines of any polished politician, they're going to say, well, we have to support Israel, and then they'll go off with the propaganda on why. And they won't address the issue still of how Israel has completely become, you know, the open-air prison wardens of Palestine.
Yeah, it's terrible, you know. I think little by little people are starting to get it, but there, you know what you're battling here, just like you're battling the Koch brothers on the national level, also on the national level, there's a huge and very powerful Jewish lobby, pro-Israel lobby, and I'm not smacking down Jewish people, but I mean, you've got to be common sense about it, people. You can't operate like Nazis and call yourself Zionists. You've got to get a grip, people.
Well, and plus, too, there's another segment I want to interject here is the conservative religious fanatics, because they
nuts.
Think, you're right, in other words, it's like supporting Israel is supporting God.
Yeah, I know, it's insane.
And that's their excuse for it on the Christian side, but Israeli, older Jewish people who really do have good hearts, and they buy the lines that gets fed to them by the authorities in question, the Jewish Knesset and the American senators and Congress people who support them. You know, it's not really, if you've noticed, this is one thing I will say about Obama, is that he has kept his distance. I think he just doesn't like the feel of, what's his name? Who's the head of the Knesset? Bibi. You know.
Netanyahu?
Netanyahu.
No, Rabin.
Prime Minister.
Rabin.
Yeah. No, I said that
the
wrong.
The head of Knesset.
Netanyahu. When he's been in the same, they have had a turbulent relationship ever since Obama came into office. And so I have to give Obama good marks for that, because he probably doesn't like to be, he probably took offense immediately because the guy came at him like, you'll do it or you'll lose this, this, and this. And I think probably Obama said, you know, up yours.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he has acceded to almost everything that the Jewish state has put onto United States in support.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, holy crap, man! Can anybody look up and see the games that these?
I think it's time for us to reiterate. For people who might just be for the first time tuning in, we are not anti-Israel. We are not. We believe wholeheartedly that Israel has the right to exist as a nation and as a people, as a Jewish people, have the right to exist without any interference or without any domination or control from outside forces. But on the other hand, we are very strongly opposed to the way that they're handling the Palestinian affairs issue. They're putting up illegal settlements all over the Palestinian territory, and they're robbing native Palestinians of their rights to exist as a free people. And they don't have that. They don't have that right. They don't have the right to do that.
Well, Jack, you know, I respect your opinion, and I respect Wayne's. On the other hand, I myself do not support Israel. I don't support what they've become in their leadership.
They're not the 1948 Israel anymore. They're not your grandfather's Israel.
Well, maybe they're just more so of it than they ever have been before, too. There's a lot of people who would say that. Because
it could be.
You know, I don't know what that truth is.
Legitimately, in 1948, Gwen, they were legitimately struggling to survive because they were surrounded by terrorists and potential enemies who wouldn't hesitate to attack them, and they did. They did several times. But they've gone far beyond that there now. They're strong, they're established, and now they're starting to invade and encroach upon neighboring territories. That's not the sign of a good neighbor.
They have ever since they set
ever since 67. That was a tipping point.
Well, yeah. But, you know, it's the shame here is that the United States turned those refugees away from Germany. That was wrong of every nation that did it. So there's a bearing. There's a bearing of responsibility there to the world community. Everybody has the right. Everybody has the right to
exist.
To human rights. and what the UN once stood for, I'm bound if I know any more what it stands for. But at one time, the UN was put together just so that we could begin to get along,
right,
all the different nations, with human rights. That was Roosevelt's, you know, dream. And I'm talking about,
right,
Eleanor here, gentlemen. I am not talking about her husband. Although he supported it, it was Eleanor's baby. And she put together quite a wonderful beginning. Israel, as a state, because it is a state, has rights too, yes, but what they have done is forfeit many of them in the world view because of what they have done to Palestine and what they continue to do. Well, Palestine, we all bear responsibilities. You know, Palestine could have made better choices too, but
it's a complicated issue. It's not. It can't be cut and dried one way or the other. There are many things to consider, but then in the final analysis, you've got to realize that there's cause and there's effect. And the cause of a lot of the problems in the area is Israel's insistence on occupying as much and grabbing as much territory as they possibly can from people that have lived there for thousands of years previously, and now they wanted to make it Israeli settlements, and that's not right.
Well, and why it's so important for the American citizen to know this and understand this is because of the humongous influence that the Knesset is throwing onto our government, and our government allows it to happen.
Well, there you go. Israel lobby is very strong, and it has its tentacles out, and it's grabbing onto a lot of Congress people. And interwoven with it is, like Wayne brought up earlier, the religious rights insistence that any move against Israel is a move against God. It's insane. It's absolute insanity. It's not the truth. It's a distortion of the truth. And we've got to get to grips with what really is happening, and we've got to deal with it accordingly.
Well, it's hard to address the situation, though, in many circles in this country.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
And people who I see in my own family, people who are not aware of the amount of largesse by the Israelis in what they've done to the Palestinians and how it goes. And,
right,
I mean, you know, it's okay.
Well, people that have this naive belief that, oh, poor old Israel, we've got to help them. They're surrounded by enemies and all this stuff. That was once very true, but that's not true today. They're very strong. They're very capable of defending themselves. They've proven it time and again. They've just got it. They've got to get a grip on their own greed and their own want, and they've got to learn to live among and with their neighbors. They can't dominate them all.
Well, they're not about to, right now. They're not about to do that. And what they fall back on. And behind closed doors, you have to absolutely know is, you know, hey, we're the nuclear power here. We say what goes. That's how power is brokered in this world. Who's got you know, I mean, come on. Is that true? We live
The big bully. The big bully always dominates the little guys. That's always the way it is.
Yeah. So it until they get called out, unless they're ready.
Oh, for a benevolent big bully, huh? Not going to happen.
That's a shame. That's going on constantly, and I think that Israel packs a lot of punch in our elections, too.
Oh, you bet they do. Absolutely. You know, it was really funny in 2012 to see, you mentioned earlier the underlying conflict between Netanyahu and Obama. You know that Netanyahu, you know, he was educated here in the States for part of the time. He went to school in Milwaukee, I understand. And he also was putting out the feelers to Mitt Romney. He wanted Mitt Romney to win. He was doing everything he could behind the scenes to make sure that Mitt Romney won the election. Of course, when Mitt Romney got defeated, you know, that blew up his little scheme. But, you know, that's only what you could see. The under-the-table stuff they do is unbelievable, too. But they have their influence, and that's why they can spit in our face and still get big, huge checks for their military from us and all kinds of foreign aid. You know, and it's just, it's gotten way too insane.
Has anybody read about the student riots or mayhem at the Pumpkin Festival in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I saw clips of it this morning on the Sunday morning, yes. Well, you know, okay, hey, yay, we won. I'm full of booze. Let's party, you know?
Yeah, that's college stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's college, you know.
I saw there's been a lot of chatter about it on the social networks, and people are saying, you know, a riot is a riot, and they were aligning it to Ferguson and this, that, and it's like Wayne just said, it was college drinking out of hand.
And, you know, I guess we can be thankful for one thing. The police didn't come in with tanks and storm them and you know, mass taser them or anything like that, you know.
Jack, you just said something that made me think of this. Some area, and I didn't catch it all because I caught the very tail end of it, but basically it was on NPR. They were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some area has been given 1,000 bayonets, just the bayonet blade.
Oh, my God.
To the local police force. And the question is what in the hell is they going to do with those damn bayonets? Is it going to be for riot control?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There was no tanks called in. There was no...
That's good.
The police were out in force. They had their riot gear on, but they broke up and made a lot of arrests and broke it up. But the thing that's hit the social media and what people are talking about is, of course there were no tanks. It was white kids. Well,
oh, that's true, too, yeah.
Well, that's
I beg to differ. Most colleges these days, including the Keene State College, I saw three different videos on the events as they were taking place and people milling around drinking, and it was multicultural. There were sprinkled all through it. So, you know, there's another knee-jerk reaction. I actually got in a firefight on Facebook about it, you know.
We've got to be careful about these knee-jerk reactions because nine times out of ten, they're not right.
Well, in logical argumentation, your English 101, that falls perfectly into the description of a generalized statement.
Right.
When you make a generalized statement, right there and there, you have negated your argument. Okay, they said it was all white kids. All you have to do is find one black kid, Asian, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You've proved the argument statement to be incorrect.
Right.
Henceforth, the other person has lost the argument, you won.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, guys, we are at the top of the hour, and before I would like to say something positive about Ebola. The Spanish nurse that you guys mentioned earlier about people.
Right,
The Spanish nurse she was actually a nursing assistant, has recovered from the Ebola virus.
Very good.
Very good. Very good. Because it was very touch and go with her. Yeah, it was very touch and go with her.
Yeah, she's 44.
You forgot to give your warning, your apology today about ISIL.
Yes, I did. You're right, Jack. Thank you. And of course, this is about my
strikes
I do apologize to the people of the Middle East, especially who are being hit by the drones that our country is dropping all over the place. This in no way says that I or Here Be Monsters or the Sunday Show is supportive of the atrocities committed by terrorists in that region. Should be stopped. They are wrong. I don't think that we should be the bully or policeman on the block for the world, however. And the drones that we're dropping are killing collateral damage, which is innocent in the hundreds and the thousands. And it's not being talked about. You only get it if you go and you look on, you know, an anonymous page, or you go to other media, go listen to Amy Goodman.
But it's still real. It's still happening every day.
It's very real. And
it's very sad.
Apologies, sincere apologies. This is the government that I don't approve of and am doing my best to see a change in. So thank you, Jack, for reminding me. I was so concerned.
You bet.
All our
let me plug Amy Goodman for just a moment. She's a very she's oozing with integrity. She speaks truth. She presents arguments and discussions that are not commonly on major media networks. She's not on a major media network. She's on Free Speech TV. She has her own show called Democracy Now. Look up Amy Goodman or Democracy Now, and you can just engorge yourself with great fact and very topical discussions that are very meaningful and very true and very necessary in today's world. We are so dominated by corporate bullshit, and it's like a breath of fresh air every time you get to see her.
Yeah, she's doing a really good job. You're right, Jack. Kudos.
And Tom Hartman's the same way.
And I still don't get to see much of him. I know.
He's online too. You can view him online.
Thank you guys for being with me. We've got about 3 minutes left here. If you've got any messages and if you want to give your call letters, that would be great.
You bet. Jack Jodell here. I'm in Minneapolis. I run a blog called The Saturday Afternoon Post, all in capital letters. And you can look at it for a lot of progressive stuff. And I try to post at least once or twice a week, sometimes three times. And so it's always a thrill a minute. There's always something new on there, and it's always revealing, and it's always based on fact and not just opinion. So it's worth your while to look at it. And then I'll relinquish my time now to Wayne.
Okay, and my name is F. Wayne Johnson, and my site is called Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. And basically it's my thoughts, my experiences, my life, where I hear someone say something and I know from my own past experience it's not true, I point it out. I'm also a published poet, so sometimes you'll get some progressive poetry put on there. So you'll find it quite entertaining. So, Gwen,
and we all
you?
Go ahead, Gwen.
Well, and as always, our little show here is supported by Roundtree 7. That's the number 7.com, a blog where we all post. And I want to thank them for their continuing support. And a happy birthday this past week to the captain out there, David Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And his son, Julian. They have the same birthday. And
how about that?
Yeah, wish him health and adventure through this year. Have a great one, David.
And victory. And we'll remind him, like all of you listeners too, keep pushing forward. We can't go backward any longer. We've got to go forward. Push forward.
Right.
Thank you.
And if we don't have any IDs, please get it and throw this voter ID things back into these conservatives who are trying to repress your vote's face. It's important to vote. Take the extra time. Do what you have to do to get your vote legitimized.
Good point.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Gwen, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you. We'll hear us again next Sunday.